Hi, you're listening to Boggy Talk, Faith Conversations in the Mud, a resource of Church on Bayshore.
Hey, welcome to Boggy Talk. We are thankful you are joining us today, this week before Thanksgiving. Y'all got
your stretchy
sweatpants ready for next week. Wow. Ready to tear down some turkey.
Stretchy sweatpants are like in style now, though.
That's
so, like,
true.
You know, it's not just like a Thanksgiving
thing.
They're huge.
They're baggy and it's so funny.
Yeah, it is so funny.
Yeah. Well, hey, before we continue talking about sweatpants, we have a special guest here today with us, Jonathan Gluck. Welcome to the
Jonathan
Talk
Sweatpants Gluck is here with us.
Speaking of stretchy sweatpants.
I'm so glad to be here with you guys because I have a lot to say about stretchy sweatpants.
Do you?
First, when is it okay in the pulpit? Can we?
Never. I think on Boggy Talk a few weeks ago, I said that if you wear sweatpants to church, like you, I'm like, if that's all you got, but otherwise,
yeah,
but what if they're like really expensive?
Still.
What's funny to me is like, I like joggers now. Like, I used to think those were so weird, but now I like them. But apparently, like, my high schoolers, they're not cool anymore. But I'm like, well, I'm just going to keep wearing them.
That's why I really am starting to dress more and more like a golfer, you know, like these athletic, like collar shirts. This is not one of them.
On Sundays, like, you mean? Or
yeah, sometimes even on Sundays because they're just so comfortable. But then people are like, you golf? I'm like, no, not even close.
Yeah,
wow. I just like the attire.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
Well, we have our Thanksgiving meal coming up here at Church on
Bayshore
next week.
Yes, we do.
So if you know someone in need, you can route them to our website. They can register for that. And last weekend
For sure be people in sweatpants at that
Absolutely.
Dinner.
And there should be. It's appropriate. It's appropriate.
It's fine.
Thanksgiving.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. After everyone does their turkey trot.
Yes.
That's the real reason.
That's the real reason. Yeah.
But yeah, we're coming off Disciple Now weekend with our students. Had a great weekend. Incredible time of worship all weekend and time for them to be in Bible study. And we're just really thankful. It was good.
Yeah, yeah.
But Jonathan, you're here today.
Not to give fashion advice.
No.
To give fashion advice?
Yeah, not to give it.
You can. Oh, yeah. Good. I mean, you can if you want to. But you are serving
still rocking Hey Dudes?
Not anymore.
Oh, okay. That was a short-lived fad, wasn't it?
It really was.
The dudes have become yard dudes.
Okay,
They're what I work in the
I'm
yard
sure there's
with.
Still people wearing them, but that was very short-lived in terms of being
and while
cool.
we're talking
it's
about
like Von
shoes,
Dutch. It's about the same.
They're like Toms. They're like the old Toms.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
true.
Toms.
You know what is surprisingly stuck around is Crocs for adults.
Well, they came back.
They came back. They died and then they came back. But now I see like grown men wearing them.
My
I'm like, okay,
are,
we're doing
my
it.
My kids are really into Crocs.
Yeah, Crocs.
I judged until I put on my sons to go take out the trash. I was like, I get why people
want
to wear these. They're so comfortable.
I have a pair of Crocs.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't have a pair, but
I don't
grab my
I
kids
don't.
To take out the trash.
Yeah, I was gonna say they're easy to slip on and take out the trash. That's you.
Are
hit
they actual
the
Crocs or are they land sharks?
I don't know.
No, they're actual Crocs, but I did have a pair of sharks. They're not land sharks. That's a beer. They're sharks. You're talking about rugged sharks.
Rugged sharks. You can tell rugged I don't shark. Know much about either one of those.
So and he has
one
a pass.
Words.
And he has a pass.
That's right.
Well, let's get to the real point.
Jonathan, you are serving as the pastor at Garden City Church in Crestview, North Crestview. And so today we wanted to have you on just to hear how it's going. You know, our church, for those of you you know, who are listening, who know, some of you know this, some of you don't, but our church has a large emphasis on church planting and revitalization. Mm-hmm. And part of that, we are supporting churches in other cities in New York. We've been a part of planting churches like Anchor Church here in our area and a number of other churches that we've supported. And Garden City is one of those churches. So, Jonathan, we want to have you here today just to share a little bit about what's been going on this past year. You know, you preached here at Church on Bayshore and people got to meet you and know you. Mm-hmm. And we want to hear what's going on. So why don't we start just by you telling us a little bit about your family, a little bit about your background.
Yeah, yeah. So married to my wife, Angela. We've been married for 14 years now, which is
way to go.
Awesome to think about, man. Mm-hmm. Like, praise God for that because she's an incredible woman.
Your marriage is firmly in the teenage years now.
Yeah, I know. Mm-hmm. I know. We're good. And things are great between us and our five kids. I mean, we have God's blessed us with five children, very thankful for that. Background, man, like I was a musician for so many years, like was in bands that kind of toured all over the country here, and that's what I spent most of what should have been my college years doing, but I spent it out on the road playing gigs. But you know, I kind of just stayed in this area too. Like Angela and I, you know, we were raised kind of in this area along I-10 here, you know, in the
The side of I-10 is where
you're
raised.
Yeah. Like right
there. That is
like
what they
right
call
there.
Chipley. That's the side of I-10.
Listen, Chipley is a thriving metropolis now. Yes. There is okay. two coffee shops there. Hmm. You know, they're they're really growing. Hmm. But yeah, we were raised in that area, stayed in that area. You know, we met in that area, got married there. Mm. And so the small town there, you know, in Chipley was kind of where Angela and I, you know, first got together and our story started. But it's also where God began calling and working in my life to bring me into ministry. We ended up leaving. It was Bonifay. I know you always think I'm actually from Bonifay, but like it's Chipley.
I apologize.
There's a big difference there.
And they're rivals.
Last time I was in Bonifay, there's a donut shop like not far off the interstate, and the sign said donuts. .. cheaper than meth.
You don't have to.
Wow.
You don't.
Wow.
They know. They really know how to market.
Really
marketing strategy.
Wow.
Yeah. But you know that was the early part of it. Early part of you know our story, Angela and I coming together. But then you know God called me into the ministry through a church plant in Crestview, Florida, Mosaic Church, now Hub City Church. And that was the place that, you know, I really felt that the Lord was calling me into the ministry, and that calling was affirmed. And, I got to serve in, you know, different capacities over there, but primarily just as a worship leader. And that's, you know, kind of the background of how I got into ministry was through music.
Yeah, and that's awesome. That church name is vaguely familiar. I can't think of why.
Mosaic Church originally, and then now Hub City Church. Yeah, yeah. I believe you know some things about that
I know
that
some
area.
Things about
a
it.
A few
yeah.
things.
Yeah.
And I remember having like lunches with you talking about worship.
Oh, yeah.
Dude, you were like a worship leader mentor to me for a few years there. It was great.
Yeah.
Well, it was great.
Yeah.
A lot of history at the table.
Yeah, there's
right
a lot
here.
Of history at this
there
table.
There is, yeah.
God's
yeah.
good.
Mm-hmm. We have so many kids between us that we forget about it.
Right. This is true. There's a lot of children represented at this table.
18.
Yeah.
17.
Good math.
18.
Yeah.
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 Wow.
18.
That's a lot.
Mm. Yeah, yeah.
A lot of kids.
Yeah. Well,
that's bigger than the Garden City Kids Ministry, too.
Yeah. That's funny. So you were at Hub City, and you mm-hmm. then went out. You were in Marianna for a while serving as
yep.
a worship pastor, and then God yep. really was working in you to begin this mm-hmm. work of church planting / replanting.
Yeah.
So let's just talk about what that is. So for those of the listeners who would not know, what is a church replant?
Yeah, a church replant, I think in, you know, the simplest way to describe what a church replant is year after year, churches from time to time will experience just decline. Uh-huh. And, you know, it's normal for churches to kind of ebb and flow, you know, go up and down, but churches that are just in continual decline, they reach a pivotal point where they have to make a decision. We're either just going to die on the hill of continuing to do things that we've done them this way for the last 30 years or whatever, or they have to make a hard choice about stopping what they're doing and just doing a full factory reset and just starting over from scratch. Mm-hmm. So a church replant is it's a new work. It's a new identity. It's a new church with new pastor, new leadership, new policies and procedures, new bylaws, and most of the time, even a new name. The churches will even adopt a new name to kind of signify that this is a new season, a new work. But it's also, it has, you know, a core group of remaining members from the previous work that was done there that are moving forward with a new mindset and a fresh vision. So that's what a church replant is in essence. It's a hard restart on everything.
That sounds really easy.
It's so easy, bro. Like, I don't know why people talk about it being so hard. It's so easy.
What could go wrong? Well, in that, how did God lead specifically to you being at Garden City and helping replant Garden City?
Yeah, so that really, man, the the beginning of that goes back like so much longer, like God just preparing my heart and eventually leading me into that position. But, you know, to kind of not go too far into the history, but go, you know, a couple of years ago, because it really has been a few years at this point where this even became, you know, an option. I was serving, you already mentioned, at First Baptist Mariana. I was there full time as their pastor of worship, but I had sensed over the last, you know, the last year of being there, I had sensed that God was just calling me out of worship ministry, and the desire to preach and teach was really strong in my life. I was, you know, giving time voluntarily to go and do that. And I was doing it off campus too. I was leading a chapel service, you know, at a drug rehabilitation clinic. And I just fell in love with preaching and knew that was where I was going. But I just resolved to stay faithful where I was, because that's such a huge transition and such a big change. And, I just thought, you know, I'm just gonna be patient and wait for the Lord to show me like what this looks like, and He showed me. He showed me very clearly. I was a part of Radical Mentoring Group with James here, and the moment we got back from a retreat, I hadn't even made it into the door of my house, and I got an email from the interim pastor at First Baptist Church of Garden City then, and he said, "Want to talk to you about a position that's happening, that's opening here." And responded quickly and was like, "Not interested. I'm already serving in worship somewhere else. You know, thank you, but no thank you." And he's like, "No, this is for, you know, the lead pastor position, but it's also, you know, a unique situation that we got here." Mm-hmm. And God had really been prepping me and my heart over the last few years in just really desiring to learn more and more about what replanting, what revitalization looks like in a church. And I was just learning these things. I was finishing my education as well at seminary, and God was just preparing me for that role. And ultimately, it led to me starting conversations with that church and quickly realizing that it wasn't just a pastor that they needed. Like, yes, they needed that, but they also needed to do a hard reset on a lot of things. And there was a lot of preparation that went into that, too, that I'm sure we can get into. But ultimately, that's what God was doing and leading me to come to Garden City.
That's good. Well, James...
Yeah.
Why do we as a church emphasize church replanting, not just church planting, but church replants?
Yeah. I mean, I think there's the classic argument between the need for new churches to start, and there's research that shows the effectiveness of those new churches in reaching their community and specifically seeing new converts. And then the issue that you have all these churches with all these resources and they just need to get healthy. We don't necessarily need more churches. And I think the answer is yes to both. We need new churches to plant, and we need these churches to get healthy. And so, yeah, from a stewardship standpoint, I mean, just take it to Southern Baptist. There's lots of churches that have a handful of people that are sitting on property that's worth hundreds of thousands, if not millions of dollars, that with a little bit of life could be a place that is used for God's kingdom. Obviously, facilities are not the goal of the kingdom of God. They're a tool, but they are a very effective tool to be used for the kingdom of God, as we've experienced here. And so we see that need. I mean, I think, you know, this church, we have felt like, man, we wish there were more healthy churches because we've experienced a lot of growth. And some of that, like, sometimes is too quick for us to grow healthily, and yet we don't really know where to send some of these people, you know, who like are like, we're driving to Niceville because it's this healthy growing church. And so the answer to that is, let's continue to figure out how we can be good stewards here on our campus, but also how can we help there be more healthy churches in Crestview, in Destin, in Fort Walton. And we specifically, you know, believe that they should be churches that are really grounded in scripture and doctrine similar to ours, and so we're trying to do that. So I think there's twofold. Like, A, there's just the principle of like, we see it, the need for it, and then as our church has resources to help, we want to be a part of that.
Yeah.
So yeah, I will say that church planting in a sense is easier, because, you know, and Jonathan, you know, knows, like, he's inherited a culture, and you know, you don't just get to say, well, this is how we're going to do music, because you've got people who've been helping lead music for a really long time. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, same coming here for you, yeah. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, in a sense, exactly. I mean, I wouldn't call us a replant,
right?
But in a sense, this church was a revitalization. We were just a revitalization, had a lot of resources, mm-hmm. you know, yeah. But
and the way it was being paved, you know,
prior, yeah, yeah, exactly. Right, like, right.
The leaders before us were pioneering that. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, but yeah, so there's some, again, the it's easier than a church plant in the sense that if you can get people on board, you have these people, mm-hmm. and you have these yeah. facilities. But it's harder in the sense that, like, people have been doing it that way for a long time, and sometimes they don't, and I'm just speaking neutrally, they don't feel the same impetus to change.
Oh, yeah.
Because they're very comfortable with how yeah. they're doing church.
Well, and everybody, I wouldn't say everybody, most people love the idea of change. They just, when you actually change, it's hard because yeah. there's a lot of emotion tied into it.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of feelings tied into it. And then, yeah. and really just a true, like, even lack of, not I would say lack, but maybe just we just don't fully understand everything, but we yeah. want mm-hmm. to want that. So I would just ask this, Jonathan. So, you know, you get there, but really the process, what was the preparation like getting ready for that? I mean, and there's some things you don't know till you're there.
Everybody's a plan until they get punched in the face.
Right. Yeah. So what was the process of getting ready like for you?
Yeah. So the process really, you know, starts with a whole lot of prayer. Mm-hmm. A whole lot of prayer.
Laying out of fleeces. You laid a lot of fleeces out.
So many.
Fleecing.
Fleecing it. Yeah, so a lot of prayer and a lot of conversations. When I first started having the initial conversations and speaking with their interim pastor at the time, like he's telling me, giving me the picture of the church, and you know, he's even using words like revitalization. These are things that need to, you know, probably happen. But from there, it was, you know, I had an initial, you know, meeting with their search committee, and just kind of heard their heart mm-hmm. on like where they were as a church and what they were thinking. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I could already feel like God was really pulling me in that direction, just already beginning to knit my heart to them and hearing their story of things that they were struggling with. And I started talking with them about have you ever heard of what replanting looks yeah. like? And, you know, kind of explained, you know, it, the hard reset, you know, analogy to them. And, you know, we just took time to, you know, pray about it. And then I said, I'm going to start having some conversations with you know, people I know that have been doing this or that can help with this. So then the ball gets rolling by, you know, me reaching out to, at the time, he was the regional catalyst for Florida mm-hmm. Baptist Convention. We all know him. We all love him. Lewis Miller.
May he rest in peace.
he's totally alive.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I talked to him on the phone yesterday. Yeah.
So. Sweet.
Yeah, yeah.
Such a... What yeah, yeah, shout out, Godfather of the Emerald Coast, man. Yeah. He's he was instrumental in helping me to get the ball rolling from a convention standpoint and talking about you know, what they could do and help mm-hmm. and guidance with that. Got me connected to Scott Carter at Send Network, you know, who mm-hmm. is the Lewis Miller of the Send Network in our area. He's the regional catalyst there. So it started with the three of us getting together and kind of formulating a plan to, you know, go to them mm-hmm. and, you know, at this point, I had, through a lot of prayer, realized I'm not going to this, Lord, unless it's a replant. You know, mm-hmm. I feel you calling me into this. I think this is what this church needs after mm-hmm. all these conversations. So the three of us, me, Lewis, and Scott Carter, went to the church and basically laid out, like, this is what replanting is.
Yeah.
And if you are going to continue to seek me as your candidate for, you know, new pastor here, this is how I'm coming. I'm going to come mm-hmm. with this. And we took some time. We prayed about it. All of us as a church continued having those conversations, but came back unanimous decision. Like, mm-hmm. yes, we want to do this. Yeah, we want to pursue
having actually you played be Lecrae's the... actually played coming in hot.
Yeah, yeah. You know? I don't know that song, but
oh,
sure.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah. Is that a country artist?
Is no, that is not. Sorry.
That guy? No, okay.
Yeah.
But after that, you know, once everybody was was unified and moving forward with you know, the replant option, I started preparing, going through the assessment through Send Network to become a church planter.
That's a North American Mission Board.
North American Mission Board. Yeah. Yep. NAM. I went through that process, took several months to walk through the assessment process, got my green light in October of 24, and then had to go and do the very real things of like creating a prospectus and starting to go and like seek support. And then we, you know, got in touch with, this is where, you know, Bayshore came into the picture here, because we wanted to adopt the replanting model of a fostering church. So Bayshore, you know, in talks with their church planting team here and with James, Bayshore agreed to come on and be like the fostering church of Garden City. So it was quite a lengthy preparation process, a lot of things that, you know, I had to do, mm-hmm. and, you know, a lot of work that had to be done, but it was, I mean, man, God was just in it the whole way, mm-hmm. obviously, and everyone talked about how hard, like, assessment was going to be, but I loved the process. It was, mm-hmm. I thought it was great, you know, and so really, really thankful for, you know, having that time to prepare, because yeah. I think mm-hmm. a lot of guys just jump into mm-hmm. stuff, yeah. But, man, really slowing down and taking yeah. that, mm-hmm. like, the year that I was in the Radical Mentoring Group, going through the assessment process, like, man, that really helped, like, spiritually prepare me
for
the role to step into.
Yeah, and you didn't mention First Baptist Mariana was very kind to you, and obviously you were very upfront with them.
Oh, man, they were so great. Like, when I knew that this was where the Lord was bringing me, like, you know, I called in the pastor. He's still the pastor there, Vince Smith. And I told him what God was doing in my heart and what, you know, what was happening. And like, he and I were really tight. We worked really well together over there. And he was like, how do we help you? How can yeah. we get involved what in this? So, you know, it was just so great. Like, mm-hmm. it was such a kingdom work. You seeing all of these other churches kind of work in the same direction mm-hmm. of seeing Garden City become a replanted church.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you mentioned a fostering relationship in a minute. What does that mean?
In a minute, okay.
In a minute. Ready, set, go.
All right. So very similar to like a church plant, you have, you know, the planter has a sending church, which helps with resources and, you know, finances, things like that, to help you and equip you for the work of planting a new church. Foster care system, the way that NAM has it laid out, is you enter into a fostering covenant with a healthier, larger church that has the resources and the means to help you through that critical stage, which is usually like the first 4 years of mm-hmm. a replant, very similar to a church plant. That first 4 years that's mm-hmm. critical to help you get back to that healthy, sustainable like state where you are, you know, able to get back to, you know, full sustainability yeah. on your own. Mm-hmm. So the fostering church comes alongside and gives the time and the resources mm-hmm. to help the church that's being fostered.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what they've done is they've suspended their bylaws as the authority mm-hmm. of the church. And so you have a council that is the authority of the church. Three are external, three are internal. And then the deciding factor is him who is internal, but, you know, it kind of gives mm-hmm. him that tiebreaker. So basically if you had external, internal at odds, then mm-hmm. it's on him, you know.
Then it's on me.
Which I don't think you've even gotten to that point where there's a kind of division. But yeah. And so Steve Renna, mm-hmm. Pastor Steve Renna, and then Ernie De La Quintera, who was our chair of trustees, and he's just continuing that role, represent our church. And then the third is actually from First Baptist Mary.
Yeah, right? Yeah, Vince Smith. He's one great. Of the other council members.
Yeah, that's a great picture of the influences and support. Mm-hmm. And I know Steve has made many visits up there to help you guys think through some things facility wise, infrastructure wise, mm-hmm. ministry wise. And Kelly Brown, our communications director, helped do your website.
Yeah.
And one of our interns helped with that this summer. Just some practical things that take bandwidth away.
Give you
bandwidth by taking some things that need to happen off your plate.
Absolutely.
So you can focus on the relational aspect and preparing the teachings and getting things that you need to focus more time on, that other people can do these things that are still important.
Absolutely.
And these are things, Church on Bayshore, you're a part of. If you're listening to this and you're part of it, you probably have no idea the level of, you know, other than we support this church, but like, you know, Garden City, Anchor Church, those have been two of our more engaged church plants. Mm-hmm. But I mean, it's a high level of engagement for us, you know, and
it really is. So thankful. Like I'm telling you, like the impact of Bayshore, our fostering church, and our supporting churches, I mean, it can't be ignored. Like, God is doing all of that because of the kingdom partnership that's taking place between all these churches.
So in this whole process, what have you been most surprised by? We'll start with the positive.
Yeah. Most surprised, like, positively on that is, man, the churches, like, Garden City's willingness to do big change.
Yeah.
You know, like, in preparation and, you know, for replanting, you know, listening to guys like Mark Halleck and Mark Clifton, you know, you just hear all of the things about what you can expect, the challenges that are ahead. And, man, you know, James mentioned it earlier. It's like, we suspended our bylaws, appointed, you know, a church council with outside, you know, members from our supporting church. That's huge in mm-hmm. Baptist world to do something like that. But it was mm-hmm. a completely unanimous vote to do that. We have made other huge changes. Like, we changed our name. We're no longer First Baptist Church of Garden City. We're just Garden City Church. We changed our service time. We changed the Sunday school hour. Mm. We've removed the pews and put chairs in. We painted the sanctuary. We've done all these massive changes, and people have just been so excited about the change.
That's great.
I'm hearing like the members, like senior adult members, saying it's so awesome to just see life in the church again. You just mm-hmm. it hasn't felt like this in so long. Mm-hmm. So they have been overwhelmingly supportive of big change.
Mm.
And it's been so humbling to walk mm-hmm. in that.
Mm, that's good. Any negative surprises or things you're like, "Oh, I wasn't counting on that."
Yeah, so like, interestingly enough, like, I'm like, you're okay with us changing the name of the church, but this little piece of furniture over here is a hill you're going to die on?
Yeah, that's, like, that's true.
That's, that was, you know,
yeah, those like, kinds of things.
Talked about removing pews, and people are like, oh, great, yeah, sure, let's do it. Like, hey, what about this little thing right here? Can I just move? Hold on now. You don't know who built that. It's like,
yeah,
right.
That's the
ooh, story behind
yeah,
it.
Exactly.
Ooh, okay.
Yes.
All right. Yeah. Realize that. All right. That's fine. I'm not mm-hmm. gonna. I'm not gonna get murdered on that hill.
I'll
walk away
in time. You know? Yes, exactly.
What they call that in replanting world is tactical patience. You know.
Yeah.
You wanna be. We have moved carefully.
Yeah, there's several of those things here. Yeah, exactly.
We know about that.
We understand completely. Yeah. So, I mean, obviously, if you're in this area, you know Crestview is growing, and North Crestview is growing. So there's incredible opportunity, mm-hmm. Not just with growth with people who are there, who've lived mm-hmm. there a long time, who aren't, who don't know Jesus. Mm-hmm. But thinking about Garden City and the future, what unique challenges do you see as the pastor ahead of you guys?
Yeah. Yeah. So with it being replant, you know, we're really early into this too. I mean, we are still technically less than a year. In fact, actually Sunday the 9th was my that was my 1 year mark.
Oh,
you
sweet.
Know? Like,
yeah.
It's crazy. So like, we're just so young into this, a year in. So healthy growth is definitely a challenge. Healthy, because we want to see, you know, we don't want to see just like transfer growth, like people getting upset, you know, from this church and being like, well, there's this new one down the street, I'm just going to go there. Mm-hmm. Like, we want to see like healthy growth coming from like intentional, like relational evangelism, like our people, the church growing numerically because our people are being evangelistic and reaching their family mm-hmm. and reaching their neighbors. And we are seeing that, but like, that's going to continue to be a challenge, because on the other side of that challenge is this consumer mindset that so many people have with the church today of like, okay, well, what do you have mm-hmm. to offer? You know, like, what kind of bells and whistles do you have? And it's like, mm-hmm. you know, yeah, those. We're not saying those things are not important.
Our church had bells and whistles when we got here.
I'm not saying that those things are not important, but you know, we want to grow in healthy way. We want to grow mm-hmm. in healthy ways, and then obviously, like, finances. You know, we want to ensure that we're stewarding well what we have, but also growing to a point where we can, you know, maybe hire some other staff, and mm-hmm. you know, it's not just me doing, you know, all the things, you know, all the time. Mm-hmm. So like, those are just unique challenges. And then specifically, you know, reaching the next generation. Mm-hmm. Like, we really want to, you know, one of the things I hear you guys say here all the time, and I've adopted that in Garden City, is like the priority of every generation should be to reach the next generation. Mm-hmm. Like, that's, we want to do that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when you're not super passionate yet about like evangelism and going and sharing the gospel, that presents a unique challenge in reaching the generation below you, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. I think, you know, and you mentioned like you don't just want to see transfer growth, and some of that can be of God as God sends people, collaborators, or mature believers.
Call those transplant.
Yeah, transplant. That's great. Members. And maybe this isn't true, but it would seem that Christians who are coming from another church probably have more expectations of all the programs that church should have versus someone you're reaching who's like doesn't have a background in church, and they're not expecting all these programs for their kids or students because they're just like, I don't know, I'm supposed to expect that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, reaching those people helps you build those things kind of internally and more, you know, more naturally, I guess.
Yeah. And I'll just say that is definitely like we're reaching those people. When I look at the baptisms and things like that, that we've had this year alone, like just celebrating it. Like we've had 7 baptisms this year alone, you know, and the church hasn't reported 7 baptisms in the last 7 years.
Yeah. That's wild.
To see
that's
what
awesome.
God's doing
praise
now.
The Lord.
Yeah. And like, I know like, there's more coming. Like, I already know there's more coming on the calendar that, you know, we're going to.
Because the Holy Spirit has told you that already.
No, because, like, people.
Where are you going now?
Because, like, people have given their lives to Christ, and I'm like, great, we get
is
to baptize now.
Is that why you're calling yourself Bishop Gluck, too? Hey, for real, I'm proud of you, Bishop.
Yes.
not joking at all. I'm very proud of you. I've known this guy for
Bishop
13 years. Known you for 13 years.
Yeah, dude. Yeah. It's been a minute. Minute.
From being baptized in a kiddie pool
in
a
freezing cold kiddie pool,
cold kiddie pool to being who you are now, man. Praise God for you.
Yeah, that's good.
God's good.
Well, how can we as a church pray for you guys? Pray for you and your family and Garden City.
Yeah, pray for me that I have wisdom and discernment to love and lead well in this season. Really, you know, obviously you want that in every season of your church, but you know, specifically because we're still so new into the replanting process. I want to love and shepherd well the people that are there, but continue to lead effectively in healthy ways. So pray for me in that. Pray that, you know, for my family, pray that, man, God protect my marriage and my children, because this move was kind of hard on the kids, because they're older, so
they
kind of understand, see things that they're leaving behind. But they're, you know, praise God, they're doing they're handling it well, you know. But just pray that God would protect, you know, marriage and protect kids.
That's a good point. People don't realize, like, church planters or replanters, like, they are typically leaving a church with a kids ministry and student ministry,
yeah,
they're taking their kids, so their kids are. I mean, I think it's great in the long run if you can disciple it well, but
it's a missionary mindset.
They incur a lot.
Yeah, and it's different because if you go overseas, it's like, okay, we get it. But like, if you're at a church in Crestview and you're like, but
all my friends,
but Emmanuel or Bayshore, they have that, you know, or Mariana had that.
Why are there no kids here?
Yeah,
and it's
right.
Understood.
It can be hard. Yeah, it can be hard. And then for the church, man, just pray that we further our passion for sharing the gospel, becoming intentional in our evangelism, in our discipleship. Because man, God is just doing awesome things, and I'm just seeing lives forever. That's our mission: see lives forever changed by the power of the gospel. And man, God's doing it there. It's like He's doing it in this little yellow brick church, just sitting on 5 acres out in the middle of nowhere.
Yellow,
like,
brick church.
God's saving people out there, man. It's awesome.
Yeah, that is amazing. And I just think it's a great picture of the kingdom of God. Mm-hmm. You know, this is no small thing. And so, man, thank you so much for for sharing with us. Yeah. You know, and we're going to wrap up our time here with a little game because, one of the, I mean, you've shared, you're not just a church replanter with this amazingly smooth podcasting voice. You have such a great voice.
You do, man. Have a great voice.
Really, I'm a little jealous. But you also, just a little bit about your personality, you are also a movie guy. And a movie quote guy.
I have been known to quote movies.
James is also a pretty quoting guy of movies. That was a terrible way to say.
Pretty quoting guy of movies.
You're a pretty guy who quotes movies.
Pretty quoting guy. I also studied.
That's the nicest thing you've ever said.
I said that very much like English is not my first language.
Pretty quoting guy of movies. Justin is not, because he can't even say that.
I am not a quoting guy of movies.
There are some references that I will text Jonathan Gluck because I know he's the only one.
I love those too. Those niche ones.
I'm terrible at movie quotes. And so we're going to a little battle here for you guys. And those Boggy Talk listeners who are also movie quote people, see if you can beat them to the punch. So what I'm going to do is I am going to say a quote.
Okay.
And if you know the name of the movie, the first person to say it gets 2 points.
Okay.
Within like 3 seconds, if you don't say it, I'm going to give you multiple choice.
Okay.
And then first person to say it gets 1 point.
Okay.
So we're shouting this out.
I don't have
a
pen to keep score, so you are on. We are on the honor system for you keeping your scores. Okay.
Yeah,
so, for example, this is a softball that even I know.
Okay.
With great power comes
Spider-Man.
Great, there you go. I didn't even finish. Great power comes great responsibility.
You'll beat me in the Marvel stuff.
Okay.
That's DC, isn't it?
All right. Or if I said, if you build it, he will come.
Field of Dreams.
There you go. All right. So
that's 2 points.
There you go. Those were examples.
Ah.
Hold on. That's not the right quote. If you build it,
they will come.
Well, this is ChatGPT made this game. So
okay.
Ooh, ChatGPT,
okay.
That's
your
the Capital campaign.
That's right.
I'm like, wait, that quote's not right. That's not it.
Yeah, I know.
All right. So game on. Here we go.
All right.
Question one. I'm just one stomach flu away from my goal weight. A, Mean Girls. B, Devil Wears Prada. C, Clueless. D, Legally Blonde.
I'm going to go Clueless.
You're both wrong. It is The Devil Wears Prada.
Okay.
Yeah, that's a great guess.
That's not our genre.
Yeah, it's not. Frankly, I'm glad I missed that one. Yes, you know?
Absolutely. Like, yes. We need a Kelly Brown on this one. Yeah.
All right. It's not who I am underneath, but what I do that defines
Batman. Batman Begins.
Dude, wow. Yeah. You got the right.
Again.
Yeah. Yeah, Batman Begins. Okay. All right.
Okay.
Here we go. This one's funny.
2-0, yeah.
Hope is a good thing, maybe the best of things, and no good thing ever dies. A, Forrest Gump. No. B, Good Will Hunting. C, Shawshank Redemption.
Shawshank Redemption.
Yeah, the next choice was going to be Dead Poets Society.
1 point.
Okay. Yep. All right. So 2-1.
Andy Dufresne.
All right.
Andy Dufresne.
Yeah. Good.
You either die a hero or you live long enough to see yourself become the villain. A, Dark Knight.
Yeah, you're doing this.
B, Inception. C, V for Vendetta.
That's the Dark Knight.
D, The Prestige. It is the Dark Knight.
Man, that's two Batmans already.
All right, there you go.
Good movies, but I don't watch them enough.
Christopher
Nolan. Right. You have three. I have one, right?
Here's one you'll know, James.
You got it right. You get a double point.
Yeah, double points if you get it without the clue.
And you did.
Okay.
Right, so 3-1.
All right, here we go. James, you'll know this one, I know. Sorry. You Have Bewitched Me, Body and Soul. A, Pride and Prejudice. B, Sense and Sensibility. C, Atonement. D, Becoming
Pride
James.
And Prejudice.
It is Pride and Prejudice. I was just
Pride and Prejudice.
About you definitely knowing this.
My wife is reading Pride and Prejudice. All right,
4-1.
I would have known exactly zero of these. So
4-1.
All right, here we go. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I wish I had never met you, because then I could go to sleep at night not knowing there was someone like you out there.
This is like rom-com. I'm not good at rom-com. Okay. Anyway, all right, keep going.
A, The Notebook. B, Good Will Hunting. C, Jerry Maguire.
I'm going to go
Jerry Maguire.
Before it is Good Will Hunting.
Oh.
That does not sound like a Good Will Hunting because it didn't have three F-bombs in it because literally that whole movie is that.
Do you like apples?
Yeah, how do you like them apples?
All that's right.
What it is. Yeah.
All right, here we go.
That's the quote from Good Will Hunting.
What we do in life echoes in eternity. A, Kingdom of Heaven. B, Braveheart. C,
Braveheart.
Troy. Mm. D, Gladiator.
Come on, Braveheart.
Gladiator.
It is Gladiator.
Dang.
Goodness. Yeah. Oh. again, to make yourself feel better, I would have known none of
these. Let me rephrase this. I'm really good at comedy movie
there you
quotes.
Go. Okay.
I'm not good.
Are there any Chris Farley quotes on here?
We have no Adam Sandler. No, Seth Rogen.
Yeah.
Anyway, keep going. It's all
okay.
Right. It's all
we should have specified some
yes,
comedy quotes.
I know.
Okay.
Yes. Five to one. You're crushing me.
All right. Get busy living or get busy dying.
Yeah.
We know the quote.
Yeah.
Green Mile. American History X. Shawshank Redemption. Goodfellas.
Goodfellas.
Shawshank Redemption.
Really? Again, another Shawshank?
That sounds
this
like...
This is a very ChatGPT.
Listen, and we're trusting. Yes. All right, here we go.
Trusting that you got this.
Do or do not.
Yoda.
There is no try.
Yeah,
Yoda. That's episode one? Four, A New Hope, Star Wars.
Okay, Star Wars. That's your answer, so you're wrong. So, James, you get
okay,
5 points
and
get back
or
in
do
the
not.
Game.
There is
you
no try.
This.
Okay.
All right. Star Wars, The Force Awakens. Star Wars, The Empire Strikes Back. Star Wars, The Last Jedi. Rogue One.
It's either Empire Strikes Back or Last Jedi. So I'm going to go with Empire Strikes Back.
Yeah, you're back in the game.
You got it.
Yeah, because that's the one that
five,
focuses
right?
on.
That's
yeah,
episode five.
You were so close. Yeah.
All right, so it's 5-2.
I was like, Yoda. No. That's
Yoda
who said
is
it.
Not the movie.
That is who said it. But
okay.
Yeah.
All we have to decide is what to do with the time that is given to us.
That sounds like Inception, but I don't know.
No, is that your...
You can still guess.
Okay,
you just threw out an answer there.
Okay.
A, The Hobbit. B, Lord of the Rings, Fellowship of the Ring.
Okay.
Or Lord of the Rings, The Two Towers.
So I
see. The Hobbit.
Yeah, I'll make it easier.
The Hobbit.
I'll go Fellowship of the Ring.
It is Fellowship of the Ring. There you go.
5-3, coming back,
woo-hoo!
Man.
Okay.
These obscure. Yeah, okay.
Tolkien, you're
these are very well-known movies and quotes, but you don't necessarily think of these quotes as being from these movies.
Yeah.
All right. Mm-hmm. It's not about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get
League
hit
of their
and
own.
Keep moving forward.
Isn't that A League of Their Own?
No.
Oh, okay.
That's a great guess.
Yeah.
It's not about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward.
Yeah, I thought she said that.
Is it Rocky IV,
Rocky.
Creed, Rocky Balboa, or Million Dollar Baby?
Million Dollar Baby. You said Rocky. Which one?
What were the Rocky options again?
I'm clear.
Rocky IV, Creed, Rocky Balboa, Million Dollar Baby.
I think I'm gonna go out on a limb. I think it's Rocky Balboa.
Dude, it's Rocky Balboa.
All right, 6.
That is amazing. All right. Carpe diem. Seize the day, boys.
Dead Poets Society.
Yeah. All right. Okay, that's 2.
Made to 3.
Here we go. You is kind. You is smart. You is important.
Is that Green Mile?
No.
Oh, okay. I just assume because it's ChatGPT, they'd be like,
yeah, The Help, Hidden Figures, Precious, or Selma.
I'm going
Precious.
Oh, that's a great guess, but it's The Help. All right, here we go. Last one, winner takes all. Okay.
Nope.
Okay.
Not how this works.
Just kidding. I make the rules here. This is tough. Our lives are defined by opportunities. Even the ones we miss. Is it A Beautiful Mind? The Great Gatsby. The Secret Life of Walter Mitty. Or The Curious Case of Benjamin Button.
That definitely has a Secret Life of Walter Mitty vibe, so I'm going to go with that. And I'm wrong.
I'm going to go Curious Case of Benjamin Button.
It is The Curious Case of Benjamin Button.
Well, you crushed me.
To go with some very
Next
obscure
time
movie quotes.
We may have you on here to talk about the rise and fall of Garden City. We will do comedy quotes.
Comedy quotes. We should have specified.
That was
some
such an inside
quotes.
Joke.
That's
those
inside
bastards.
Baseball
yes,
right
yes,
there.
That's right.
Man.
Yeah. Well, hopefully
that's right.
There's
that's
only
not
going to
happen. That's not going to happen.
That's right.
Lord
that's
will.
Right.
No, we're praying that doesn't happen.
Yes, for sure. Well, dude, Jonathan, thank
you. Who do you think you are?
I mean, you're praying
that's
for
right.
the
rise.
Yeah, who do you think right. you are?
That is, okay. Oh, man. Right. Yeah, well, hey, we just thank you so much for taking time to be here today, for sharing. thing. Yeah. It really is our joy. As we say, is we're not trying to grow a church. We want to build the kingdom.
Yeah.
It really is to our joy to see the kingdom being built through you and Angela and Garden City and all the incredible folks there. I mean, I'm just thankful for, man, the people in that church have been willing to change, to say, hey, we want to do whatever it takes. So praise God for that.
I feel like if you have Mike Tiley just say anything with that accent, people will be like, okay.
It totally works.
Yeah, yeah.
It totally,
also, Jonathan
totally
will be here in March to preach.
That's right.
So, yeah, we'll have him here with us during our Beyond These Walls campaign.
Yeah.
That's right. So. I'm going to say a huge thank you to Bayshore. Thank you guys for everything that you have done. It's been amazing. Thank you so much.
All
awesome
right.
to be here.
Well, hey, if you have questions, be sure and send them our way. You can send them to Kelly at Church on Bayshore.
That's we're taking a break this week, right?
K-E-L-L-Y. Yeah, so we no episode during Thanksgiving, but after Thanksgiving, we'll be back with some Christmas episodes.
Let's go.
Yeah. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening to Boggy Talk. We are so glad you joined in the conversation. Go ahead and subscribe so you don't miss a beat.